So how you guys doing? Have any of you guys been to the Balloon Fiesta this year yet? Like yesterday, or well, you guys didn't go today, or you wouldn't be here right now. So, did you guys go yesterday? Anybody? I went yesterday, and I have to say, the greatest thing on there is definitely the Darth Vader helmet. I'm not even in the Star Wars, but that thing is huge and very intimidating, and yeah, it's pretty awesome. So turn to Luke. What I think? Hold on. I just had it and I lost it. Hold on one sec. Okay, Luke chapter 18, verses 18. You guys are all there? Sweet. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this morning, Lord. And I pray that the things that we're just singing about today, this morning, just a little while ago, wouldn't just be words like the last song that we sang. It wouldn't just be something that we sing and something that we say, Lord, but it would just be our lives, that we live out the things that we were singing. And Lord, that this won't be a time of just me up here telling stories and just reading the word, Lord, that we would desire so much to live by these things. This would be all to us. Nothing else matters, Lord. And it's really hard for us to do, Lord, but I just pray that change our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, when I would ask you to name me some rich people, who would you think of? Who are like the rich people that you would think of? Donald Trump, of course. I always would think of Donald Trump. Anybody else? Oh, any other rich people? Bill Gates. Who else? Steve Jobs. I like Steve Jobs, the iTunes guy. Right on. Anybody else? Oprah. Yeah, this is loud. Yeah, Oprah's definitely one. Anybody else? He's the richest clown I know, yeah. So when we think of rich people in America, excuse me, this might be difficult. So. When we think of rich people in America, we think of those people, right? So what do you think if us, as this group right here in this room, went to, let's say, Africa? All right. Now, if we go to Africa and we sit around with the people, you know, maybe even the church or maybe just the people, you know, just the locals out there, who do you think in their minds, in their hearts, would be the rich man, the rich people? All of us, right? All of us the same. I mean, there's no difference between us and Steve Jobs and Donald Trump. We are the rich man. Now, I live, like I said, I live in San Mateo, California. I'm surrounded by rich people. Like I said, I live in a couch in this apartment with two other guys. With a big living room. I'm a cyclist. I love bikes. So I don't really like to spend time in a confined area called a car. So I like to ride my bike. So I don't even have a car. I just have a bike. So I go ride all over the place. Of course, everybody looks at me and I have this coffee shop job. You know, I don't have this main job. I have a coffee shop job. Plus I teach the junior hires. And it's a small church, a very small church. It's not like this. Actually, you guys are probably a little bit bigger than than my junior hires. Altogether, we have 25 kids in this little, you know, the high school and the junior high. Now, it's a small church. I live in a small apartment on the couch. I don't drive. So everybody thinks, looks at me and says, man, this guy, he's a loser. He's so poor. You know, everybody has like extremely nice vehicles. Lord, give me a voice. Maybe that would be a good idea. All right, so. But as I was, as I've been living there for 2 years, you know, and I've been in different places, different apartments, living on, sometimes living on floors, living on futons. You know, I was thinking, man, I'm living the simple life. You know, this is great. You know, I don't care about the materials. I don't care about cars. I don't care about big screen TVs. But then, if I went to Africa and I bought the materials that I have, they would think I'm filthy rich. Do they have a right to think I'm filthy rich? They do. They do. So, chapter 18 of Luke, verse 18. Would somebody like to read? Anybody who reads is going to sound a lot better than this horsey voice, so... Okay, anybody? All right, I'll do it. I'll do it. Now, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, this guy is a rich, he's young. I don't know how young he is. He's a ruler. He goes up to Jesus, right? He comes up to Jesus, and he says, good teacher. So, by saying someone is good, especially a good teacher, it's not somebody that you don't respect, right? I wouldn't go to someone that I don't respect, that I think is a loser, and say, hey, you good person, all right, you good teacher. You wouldn't say that. You would only say that to someone you respect. Now, obviously, if you called him a teacher, he's probably heard what Jesus has already had to say. So he comes up to Jesus and says, you know what? What you're saying, what you're talking about, I want to know more. How can I get eternal life? How can I live forever? How can I live forever in your kingdom? What you say is true. How can I do that? So Jesus says in verse 19, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. So why? What is he saying then? You know, well, Jesus, who is Jesus? God's son. But he is God, right? You know, I know that's kind of a tricky thing, but he is God. So what is he trying to say? It's like, well, no person is good but God. So he's saying, you must realize by calling me good that you must realize that God, I'm God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And he said, all these I have kept from my youth. So Jesus said, well, you got to follow the commandments. And the rich young ruler said, well, I already do that. I have ever since I was a little child. I committed to everything that the Bible says. I committed to those things. And he said, all these I have kept from the youth. And then in verse 22, so when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. So this rich young ruler comes and asks, goes to Jesus and says, good teacher, show me the way. Show me the way for eternal life. And Jesus showed him the way. He says, to follow me, I need you to give everything that you have. Man, this guy's rich. I'll give you everything that you have and give it to the poor. To receive eternal life, to receive this, Jesus asked that. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was really rich. We come to church all the time. This place has a Wednesday night service, a Saturday night service, Sunday morning service. We come and we hear these things over and over again. You probably even heard this before. And we hear about eternal life. We hear about Jesus, what he did on the cross. And we hear what, as church people, as Christians, we hear that what we're supposed to do. We hear what Jesus says in his word and what the other apostles say in the New Testament, what the prophets say in the Old Testament. We hear it, we read it, but do we really understand what he was saying? What this is all about? He came seeking like you guys seek. He came seeking Jesus and saying, I want to know how to get there. And Jesus told him. But he was so stuck on the things that he has. He turned around, walked away, sorrowful. Did not want to give up what he had. Now, that was one man. I want to also go and talk about another man. It's just right and probably on the same page for most of you. But it's going to be on chapter 19, same book. And then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was really rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was a short stature. So we got this short guy. And Jesus is teaching, and this guy has everything. This guy has, you know, I don't know, probably just as much money as this rich young ruler guy, you know. I don't know how much money he has, but he's a rich guy. But he's so amazed and intrigued by what this guy is saying. But he's a short little guy, and so, you know, he really wants to see him. He wants to see him teach and get his attention. And so this is what he does. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. Now, he's not a young kid. He's probably way older than I am. I love climbing trees, mountains, anything. I'm just, you know, I'm a squirrel. I love it. It's wonderful. But I don't think this guy was probably in that much shape. I don't think he exercised daily. I don't think he had a bike or anything like that. So he's probably a little chubby guy. And it probably struggled really hard to get up that tree. But, you know, he really desired to see this Jesus, this teacher. So he climbs this tree. I don't know how long it took him, but probably took him a little while, I would assume. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Whoops, I'm sorry. I skipped something. Let's see. So he ran. Okay. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Jesus went up to him in the tree, come down. I'm going to dine with you. I'm going to eat with you. I'm going to sit down in your house. So he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they were all muttered, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusations, I will restore fourfold. It's a little bit different than the other guy, isn't it? A little bit different, huh? This guy had so much passion, so much desire. This little guy, and he didn't care what anybody else was thinking. He didn't care what anybody else was saying. He jumped out of this tree. Probably hurt. I don't know. I don't know how far the tree was. Sycamore, I'm not sure. I've not studied on sycamore trees. But he jumped out. And he was so passionate. He was so passionate. And he says to Jesus, look, to follow you, I give half of everything. Now he said half of everything. Why did he say half of everything? And Jesus asked the rich young ruler everything. Well, this is the reason. This is the thing. Jesus didn't even have to ask Zechariah. Zechariah wanted to follow him and he would have done anything. He was so passionate of following Jesus that he said, you know what? I don't care. I'll give whatever, you know, I'll give half. But if Jesus asked him to give more, I know he would do it. The rich young ruler, his heart wasn't to even give anything. He came sad because he knew the truth. He knew what Jesus was saying was true. But he didn't want to give it all up. Now, in the beginning, I was talking about us comparative to other countries. And we might think that we're poor here. I'm definitely poor out where I live. But man, we are so filthy rich. Since I've lived now in California, I had 3 bikes stolen. I went to Lone Tree. Did you guys go to Lone Tree this last year? Or like, have you guys been to Lone Tree since you've been out in here? Well, I went to Lone Tree, and the cool thing about Lone Tree is that there's these single-track mountain bike trails. And there's a plethora of specialized rock hoppers, and that was like my favorite bike. So when I came out to Lone Tree, I was like, man, I need to get myself a bike before I go out to California. I pick out this yellow, beautiful, really light, specialized mountain bike. And I forget his name. I think it's Steve out there. He gave me a cheap deal. It was great. I mean, really ridiculously cheap deal. So excited about this thing. I would actually park, like if I was at a coffee shop, I'd park it right by the window so I can look at it. So I can see it. So I can, you know, that's my bike. So excited. It took me a while to actually get it shipped and everything to California. And when I got it, I opened up the box, you know, put all the pieces together, you know, it's like, yeah. Want mountain biking on it once. October of that year, it was Halloween, it got stolen. So sad. Then this guy that I was working at this coffee shop, this guy noticed that my bike was stolen. You know, I told him and everything, and he goes by and he gives me another bike. He gives me this nice bike. It's kind of a road bike. And I was like, nice. You know, I was riding this all over the place. And then I actually saved up enough money to get another mountain bike. So excited. So I had 2 bikes. My road bike got stolen. So then I was just riding on this mountain bike, you know. And then eventually, finally, that one got stolen. So confused at this point. You know, it's like, God, I don't even ask for a nice car. I mean, these bikes, you know, they're kind of low of the line. I mean, I'm not even asking for like a $2,000 bike. Why? Well, I love those bikes. Every single one of those bikes I cherished. Now, if I went to another country with this bike and I'm on doing all the trails, and I see this kid, this guy, my size, looking at my bike. Would I just give it to him? Would I so lovingly, like, man, I don't care about me. This kid, man, this guy, he can use his bike to get around. I just use it for fun, you know? Would I give it to him? So I was thinking a lot about that, and I had to get another bike because I needed transportation. And I was praying and praying and praying, and there's this secular guy, this guy that's not even a Christian, but I go mountain biking with him, and he was helping me find a good mountain bike, and, you know, off of eBay. And I had my budget all set up, but I just like, the whole time I was like, God, I don't care. If it's nice, if it's not, I don't care. As long as you can, this bike can be used to bless other people. Well, he calls me up and says, I found you the best bike. You will love it. It's my favorite brand. It's Gary Fisher. I actually never thought I could ever afford a Gary Fisher, especially like the more top of the line ones. It's right in your range, but this is the best part. All the proceeds go for this guy. All the proceeds go for his church friends to go to Louisiana to help the Katrina victims. And I'm like, Lord, I don't even care if the bike is messed up. I don't care if the bike, you know, is nonsense. I just want other people to be blessed. Well, I won the bike by a hair. My total was 600, and I don't know if you know about eBay, but somebody will keep on bidding. And since mine was the first bid, people will keep bidding until they reach 600 or over. This guy is bidding over and over and over again. And then at the end of the day, he bid 600. But since I was the first bid, if he bid like 601 cents, he would have got the bike. I was just praying. It's like, God, I don't care. You know, I don't care if I get the bike. I don't care. Maybe this guy needs it more than I do. Sure enough, he didn't bid anything else. He stopped at 600 and the bike was mine. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. But with that attitude, you know, I got this amazing bike, and it's, you know, I'm getting from work and been able to mountain bike, and I've been able to bless other people, you know. But with that attitude, God will bless you. With the attitude of the rich young ruler, he left sad. Have you ever seen, is it really that time already? What time do we leave? Like right now, huh? Well, I'll close this up real quick. I lost track of time. Sorry. There's this show. You know what? Since we don't have much time, let me see what I want to do with this real quick. I can't get into it right now, but there's Matthew 25. If you guys want to write that down, that'd be awesome. Matthew 25, 31. It's Jesus in heaven, all angels all around him, all in his perfect glory. The nations all there, right? And he starts separating some to his right and some to his left. He calls the ones on his right his sheep and the ones on the left the goats. And he turns to the people on his right and he says, look at all this. Look at all this heaven. Look at all this. This is all yours. All yours. And know what he says? The reason why he's given them heaven is because he says, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you brought me in. And he keeps on saying all these things, you know, that he was poor and hungry and thirsty. And the one of them says, when were you those things? When were you hungry? When were you thirsty? When were you a stranger? And Jesus just replied, all the people that you, all the least of these people, all the like the hungry, the homeless, if you did the least to any of these people, you did to me. So he's saying, if you find me, if you love me, and you trying to follow me, if you're following me, that these people are just as important as I am. That these people, these homeless, are just as important as I am. It's one thing, we can't force ourselves to love people. We can't. That's our thing. We hear these messages. We hear convicting messages like this. We think, man, I got to start feeding the homeless. Well, a lot of times it's not out of love. It's out of because you're told to, because your parents told you, or you've read this and you're like, got all upset and, you know, guilty. But you can't love these people. You can't force to love these people. And the more that you love Christ, the more that you die to yourself and you can your eyes are open to everyone's needs around you. And there's a lot of times where, man, I get this strong, like, pain in my chest when I see something. I'm like, oh, God, I don't even know this person. I don't even know what this person's dealing with. But Lord, use whatever I have. Use whatever I can give them. Give me more wisdom, or give me more money so that I can, you know, bless this person. Then again, we can't force ourselves to love Christ either. I know in my youth, man, and even in San Mateo, a lot of times it's like, man, I'm a teacher. So I have to, you know, make sure that I'm following Christ, make sure I'm reading the word, make sure I'm praying. And I'm like getting ready for a message, and I'm like just praying, God, man, Lord, I love you so much and all this. And I actually, if I sat down and thought, I don't know, do I really? One thing that I've learned, I can't love him. I'm so selfish. There's so many things to get in the way for me to love him completely. And just all this stuff I worry about blinds me from actually seeing his glory, seeing who he is. But every day I have to pray, God, I want to love you. Reveal yourself to me. Reveal your glory to me in everything. And it's impossible. It is impossible to be revealed to his glory and revealed to who he is and not love him. And not love him every single day. So I wish it wasn't as short as it was. But, and if it's confusing because it was too short, or you can understand me, I'll be here for a while. But what I wanted to leave you guys with this is we look at these scriptures and we look at, you know, the convictions that we have, and we get very discouraged because, man, I can't do this. God gives us the ability and the strength to do all things, to even to love him and to help. He'll help us to follow him as well. So, dear Lord, thank you so much for this time. Lord, thank you so much that you've given me such a strong heart, Lord. Father, I just pray that you keep building it, Lord, but I pray that you keep building it in every single one of these kids here, Lord, that, just open their hearts. Show them who you are within this day. That they cannot stop worshiping you. That you just become so real to them. And then the needs of everybody else become so known to them. And it's not a thing that they feel that they have to do, but they want to do because they love them, because they love you. Lord, thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.